Chapter 8. Julian Sparkle. Standard issue equipment to all jurisdiction agents, the Dimensionally Ambivalent Travel Book contains information, tips, maps, recipes, and extracts from popular or troublesome novels to enable speedier intra-fiction travel. It also contains numerous juristech gadgets for more specialized tasks, such as an MV mask, text marker, and ejecto hat. The travel book's cover is read-locked to each individual operative and contains a standard emergency alert and auto-destruct mechanism. We entered the kitchen of Geppetto's small house. It had a sort of worthy austerity about it, but was clean and functional. A cat was asleep next to a log basket, and a kettle sang merrily to itself on the range. But we weren't the only people in the kitchen. There were two other doors leading off, and in front of each was a bored-looking individual sitting on a three-legged stool. In the center of the room was what appeared to be a quiz show host dressed in a gold lamé suit. He had a fake tan that was almost orange, was weighed down with heavy gold jewelry, and had a perfectly sculpted hairstyle that looked as though it had been imported from the 50s. "Ah!" he said as soon as he saw us. "Contestants!" He picked up his microphone. "Welcome," he said with faux bonhomie, showing acres of perfect white teeth, "to Puzzle Mania, the popular brain game. I'm your host, Julian Sparkle." He smiled at us and an imaginary audience and beckoned Thursday Five closer. But I indicated for her to stay where she was. "I can do this," she exclaimed. "No," I whispered. "Sparkle might seem like an innocuous game show host, but he's a potential killer." "I thought you said over-caution was for losers," she returned, attempting to make up for the bacon roll debacle. "Besides, I can look after myself." "Then be my guest," I said with a smile. "Or rather, you can be his guest." My namesake turned to Sparkle, and walked up to a mark on the floor that he'd indicated. As she did so, the lights in the room dimmed, apart from a spotlight on the two of them. There was a short blast of applause, seemingly from nowhere. "So, contestant number one, what's your name, why are you in Geppetto's kitchen, and where do you come from?"
"My name's Thursday Next Five. I want to visit the core containment chamber as part of a training mission, and I'm from the Great Samuel Pepys Fiasco."
"Well then, if you can contain your excitement, you could have a prize visited upon you. Fail, and it might well be a fiasco."
Thursday Five blinked at him uncomprehendingly.
"Contain your excitement, prize visited, not a fiasco?" repeated Sparkle, trying to get her to understand his appalling attempts at humour.
She continued to stare at him, blankly.
"Never mind. All righty then. Ms. Next, who wants to visit core containment, today we're going to play Liars and Tigers."
He indicated the two doors leading off the kitchen, each with a bored-looking individual staring vacantly into space in front of it.
"The rules are very simple. You have two identical doors. Behind one is the core containment chamber you seek, and behind the other is a tiger."
The confident expression dropped from Thursday Five's face, and I hid a smile.
"A what?" she asked.
"A tiger."
"A real one or a written one?"
"It's the same thing. Guarding each door is an individual, one who always tells the truth, and another who always lies. You can't know which is which, nor which door is guarded by whom. And you have one question to one guard to discover the correct door. Ms. Next, are you ready to play Liars and Tigers?"
"A tiger? A real tiger?"
"All 8 feet of it."
Julian smiled, enjoying himself again.
"Teeth at one end, tail at the other, claws at all four corners. Are you ready?"
"If it's just the same to you," she said politely, "I'll be getting on my way."
In a flash, Sparkle had pulled out a shiny automatic and pressed it hard into her cheek. "You're going to play the game next," he growled. "Get it right, and you win today's super-duper prize. Get it wrong, and you're tiger poo. Refuse, and I play the spread the dopey cow all over the kitchen game."
"Can't we form a circle of trust, have a cup of herbal tea, and then discuss our issues?"
"That," said Sparkle softly, a maniacal glint in his eyes, "was the incorrect answer." His finger tightened on the trigger, and the two guards both covered their heads. This had gone far enough. "Wait!" I shouted. Sparkle stopped and looked at me. "What?" "I'll take her place. It's against the rules. Not if we play the double death tiger snack game." Sparkle looked at Thursday Five, then at me. "I'm not fully conversant with that one," he said slowly, eyes narrowed.
"It's easy," I replied. "I take her place, and if I lose, then you get to feed both of us to the tiger. If I win, we both go free."
"Okay," said Sparkle, and he released Thursday Five, who ran and hid behind me.
"Shoot him," she said in hoarse whisper.
"What about the herbal tea?"
"Shoot him!"
"That's not how we do things," I said in a quiet voice. "Now, just watch and listen and learn." The two guards donned steel helmets, and Sparkle himself retreated to the other side of the room, where he could escape if the tiger was released. I walked up to the two individuals, who looked at me with a quizzical air and started to rub some tiger repellent on themselves from a large tube. The doors were identical, and so were the guards. I scratched my head and thought hard, considering my question. Two doors, two guards. One guard always told the truth, one always lied. And one question to one guard to find out the correct door. I'd heard of this puzzle as a kid, but never thought my life might depend upon it. But hey, this was fiction. Strange, unpredictable, and fun.